All right, we are looking today at lesson number 11 in our series of lessons from the book of Daniel. This is Sunday morning, January the 15th, 2023. And we are already halfway into the month of January. Can you believe that? Good grief. Just seemed like it got here. I want you to look at some things today. We have a theme verse that goes along with the lesson today. The lesson is entitled, Allies and Adversaries Among the Angels. Allies and Adversaries Among the Angels. We're in Daniel chapter 10, but our lesson verse today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 91, verse 11. Here's what the Bible said. Psalmist wrote, he said, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And today in the lesson, I want you to consider God's love and care for his people. And I want you to understand something today, that God's love and God's care for his people is real. It's real. It's true. It's accurate. It's consistent. It's faithful. And God shows us in his word. And through the lesson today, I want you to see some things here in Daniel chapter 10. We're going to go from Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, to Daniel chapter 11, verse number 1. I'm going to do my best to get all this in here today. But again, I can't promise you anything. Amen. Man, there is so much good stuff in here. And I just love it. So I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I want you to understand something today. Whether or not you see it or you understand it, the Bible clearly indicates that you and I are living our lives in the midst of a great spiritual warfare each and every day. Each and every day of our lives, from the very beginning of the book of Genesis, there in the book of Genesis until the last few chapters of the book of Revelation, we see this fact and we come to understand the reality that there is a spiritual warfare taking place all around us today, all around us. And I was reading through the book of Job these past few weeks. I'm trying to do something a little different this year, and I put it on our website, reading through the Bible. We want to do that, but I put it on there. I was asked about putting it in chronological order, okay? And so I've put it in our Bible reading, a chronological order of reading through the Bible. And it'll take you up through the book of Genesis, chapter 11 or 12, I think it is, chapter 11. Then it goes over to the book of Job, and then it'll take you back to the book of Genesis and then go through there from that point. And I was reading through the book of Job over the last couple weeks, and I could see it. I knew it already. I knew this was there. But you see where Satan, the prince and power of the air, he continued there accusing. He's known as the great accuser. You realize that, right? He's always accusing the children of God before God, trying to point out their faults, their failures. And listen to me, when the devil comes to you and tries to aggravate you and frustrate you and remind you about your past and remind you of all your faults and your failures, do yourself a favor. Remind him of his future. Amen? Remind him of his future. The Bible says that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. Amen. He's got no good future. And the Bible talks about there in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible said that he does as he's even doing today. He was found going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And you know what he was doing? He was broadcasting to God all of those that he's got the control of. All of those that he would consider to be his trophies on his trophy shelf, instead of them being God's trophies on God's trophy shelf. And the devil is always, always trying to point out our faults. Well, I've got news for him. He can look all he wants to and he'll find everything and anything. that he wants to consider. But if he'll look real deep and he'll get real close, he'll find out they've all been covered by the blood. Amen. They've all been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I want you to understand today, folks, the conflict is great with Satan. He wants to do everything he can do to hurt us. And here in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, I want to read something to you here. As he made one of his appearances of accountability unto God, he said this. The Bible said that he stood there before God, told him that he was walking up and down, to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it, just having his dominion, okay? The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said, I want you to remember this, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? God looked at Satan and he said, listen, I hear all you're saying, but have you considered my servant Job? How that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then the Bible said, and Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But here's the accusation. He said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You know what? God has put a protective hedge about his children. He has protected us round about. And I really believe with all my heart that there's at least two angels around each of us, because God said he's placed angels around us. And that word is plural, so that plural means more than one. All right? He's got to be around my wife. As fast as she drives sometimes, I know they're doing some extra flapping, but I'll tell you this. There's got to be at least two trying to take care of her, amen? And the other night when Danny was driving, we put up two great big red glowing triangles at our driveway. And I was kidding him the other night because he almost missed them and then almost went down in the gully. And I said, man, we got to get your eyes checked. I bet those angels are pushing that van on out of the way. But you know what? The devil knows that God has his hand of protection around us. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If God did not have his hand of protection around us, Satan would have done away with us a long time ago. But Satan said, man, you got a hedge about him. You've got his house protected. You got all that he hath on every side protected. He said, you've blessed the work of his hands, the substance of his is increased in the land. But here's the accusation. He said, but you take away those things. You let some bad times come in Job's life. You take away all your hand of protection. And God, I'm telling you that Job will curse you to your face. Now, folks, let me ask you something today. If the devil said that to God about you, and God said, hey, I'll prove it to you. My servants love me. And God just said, just do what you need to do with him for a little while. What would be the result? You know what? I have seen folks that go through hard times. And I've seen them turn against God and blame everything on God. But folks, listen to me today. Sometimes God allows us to go through some things. I believe with all my heart, just to shut the devil's accusations off and to close his big running mouth and to prove to the devil, listen, that's my servant, not yours. Don't let God down. When the hard times come and the heartaches hit you and the things that the devil can loose on us sometimes hits us right in the face, don't get mad at God. Trust God. Depend on him. Remember that God allows things to go on in our lives for a purpose, to teach us, to train. Listen, I would have never learned to trust God had I not had to go through some heartaches and battles in my life. And you never learn to sail a ship on a calm sea. You got to go through some stormy times to do it. And you know what? The Bible said here in this passage in Job that Satan was accusing Job. He said, oh, he don't love you. He just loves the blessings that you give him. But you take away those blessings and he'll curse you to your face. And you know what God did? The Lord said unto Satan, verse 12, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. God said, you take away those things. You take away as children. You take away as possessions. You take away as means of support. Take away as house. Take away even as health. But I know my servant Job. He'll not curse me. And you know what? Through it all, Job came through it. And God blessed Job. And in the end, God gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now you listen to me today, folks. We don't serve God to get twice as much. We serve God today because we love him because he first loved us. We're able to love him because he first loved us. You know why your children will love you? Because you love them. Now, sometimes they get on your nerves, and sometimes they may even disobey you and do things that would break your heart. But you know what? We teach them to love us because we first love them. And that's the way it ought to be with us and God. We love God. Why? Because he first loved us. He gave himself for us, and that's why we do what we do. Now, Job said in Job chapter 13, verse 15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. You see, Job had a choice, and Job chose to live for God. His wife told him, said, Job, you're suffering. I see the agony in your heart. I know what you're going through. Job, just curse God and die, and you'll not have to worry about it anymore. And he looked at her and he said, you speak as one of the foolish women. He didn't call her foolish, but he said, you speak as one of those foolish women. He said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to depend upon him. And folks, I'm here today to tell you that you can depend upon God. God is faithful. And even though we have to go through some hard times, God is there to take care of us, to protect us, to watch over us, and to bring honor and glory to his name. And listen, when we do have to go through the tough times, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Man, I've been through many a time. It'd be real easy just to give up and say, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm just ready to die and go on to heaven. But God showed me some things. He showed me why I had to go through that. And you know what, I believe that God allows us to go through these things so that we can have a more compassionate heart for those folks around us, for those folks around us that are going through hard times. Because sometimes we just look and say, well, we'll pray for you, and then we don't ever stop a moment to even pray for folks like that. But you know what? We need to take time to do that. I don't know why I said all that today. Maybe God's got something here for somebody that needs it today. But I want you to understand today that there are allies and there are adversaries among the angels around us today. And if we could see the battle that's going on around us today, I think around me today, there are angels standing there, and they're guarding so that I can present the message to you today. Because the adversary would not want me to be able to do that. The devil does not want me to do that. I want to show you some things here today in this book of Daniel, chapter number 10. I hope it will be a help to you. Let's look at it just a moment. First of all, I want you to understand the period of this vision that Daniel was going through. God gave him this vision, and this vision is explained in these last three chapters, chapters 10, 11, and 12 of the book of Daniel. And you'll go through this, and you'll see this in the next, the last two lessons that we have, last three lessons that we have, you'll see all this. But the period of this vision was in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And he said here, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. If you'll remember, God had used King Cyrus to write the decree, to send out the decree, to send the Jews back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. This is in the third year of King Cyrus that he's having this vision. It was in the first year of King Cyrus that he wrote the decree. And I believe that Daniel had a lot to do with that and helped out with that. But you can read about that over in the book of Ezra chapter 1. I want you to see the period. It's during the third year of Cyrus the king. The purpose of the vision, look at it. While Daniel prayed for his people, you'll remember last week he was praying for his people. And here in this chapter, you're going to see that he was again praying for the people of God. Daniel had been reading in the book of Jeremiah. And he came to realize that the captivity that they were in was for 70 years. And at the time of the reading of this passage from Jeremiah, 67 years had passed. So there are only 3 more years left for them to be in captivity. And now Daniel is writing about those things. And here in this verse, God makes Daniel aware that not only had he heard Daniel's prayer, but that that God's plan would be revealed to Daniel. And he assured Daniel, look at the last part of the verse. He said, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. In other words, when this thing was going to happen was still a good ways out. And then he said that the Bible said here, and Daniel wrote, he said that he understood the thing and he had understanding of the vision. All right? So as we look at this, I want you to see the preparation for the vision. And that is in verses 2 and 3. Look what he said. Daniel prepared his heart. You remember in the book of Ezra, Ezra wrote how that he had prepared his heart to present the word of God to the people. He prepared himself. And folks, we need to prepare ourselves each and every day. Get in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get in you. And when Daniel went to God, he went to God on behalf of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. He went to God because he was burdened for the people. If you'll remember, when he prayed, he confessed the sins of the people of Israel. He confessed the sins of his own self. And he reminded God of how rebellious they had been and how stubborn and stiff-necked they had been. But he pleaded and said, God, please don't forget your people. And here in verses 2 and 3, the Bible said, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning. That means he was weeping. He was sorrowful. He was expressing grief in his heart unto God. He was mourning 3 full weeks. That is 21 days, 21 days. If you're an evolutionist and you believe that there's a million years in between every day that God created the earth, then that means that Daniel had been weeping for 21 million years, okay? You don't believe that, do you? Good grief. I don't believe that one lick. But the Bible said in those 21 days, as he wept and he prayed, and he offered his supplications unto God for his people. The Bible said he ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. You know what this tells me? It tells me that Daniel's desire above everything else was to hear words from God. He wanted to know what God had to say. Folks, let me ask you something today. When is the last time that you missed a meal? Most of you today, I can look at it. It's not been a... most of us. Very few are willing to miss one meal to spend time alone with God, let alone 21 days. He didn't anoint himself. He didn't put the oils that kept his flesh from being so dried out in the humid air and all the things there where he was at. He didn't anoint himself like that. He didn't eat. He didn't drink anything. And you know, it seems like today so many folks go to church only in order to be entertained. They only go to be caressed, have their ears rubbed and make them feel good. My little dog, bless her heart, if you rub her ears, she'll just sit there and her little eyes will close. And if I take my hand away, she'll fall over. But I mean, she loves to be rubbed on, okay? And you know what the sad thing today is? That's the way a lot of so-called Christians are. They go to church just to be caressed. They're not really interested in hearing anything from God. They think that God is some sort of a magic genie, that they can live any old way they want to live and then go to God and rub the magic lamp and God will give them, poof, anything that they want. And everything will be good. Daniel took time to buffet his own self, to humble himself before God, and to mourn and weep and cry. And he was looking, he prepared himself to be able to hear from God. He wanted to know that God was there. The scripture says he prepared his heart to hear whatever God had to say to him. And that preparation was not just simply a fly-by-night, seat-of-the-pants type thing, but he took time to spend alone with God. How many times do you just want to get away and get alone with God? I like to walk and get alone with God and just talk to him. When I took Precious out this morning, it was cold, good night. The wind was blowing, and she was just out there just having herself a time, you know, just sniffing the air, chasing rabbit trails and all kinds of stuff. And I was just thinking, talking to God this morning, the sky was clear, the sun was just coming up, and you could see how the stars were still shining, and it was just beautiful. And I said, man, God, you are a great God to create all this and create the cold air and to bring the snow that will cleanse the air one day. And you know, you're just a great God. And I love to just take time to just talk to the Lord and let him speak to my heart. And folks, Daniel took time to prepare himself. He had a desire, and that desire was to know from God that his people were going to be all right. And when captivity time was over, that God's hand would still be upon them. That God's hand would still be upon them. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed like that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul prayed and he said this. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. God wanted his nation to be saved. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 80, verse 1, he said, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Between Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? For such a long time, these folks have been in captivity. And Daniel now is praying for them. Some 50,000 Jews had gone back to that holy city. They rose up and they said, we will rebuild the city. Daniel prayed for them. He prayed unto the God of Israel. He prayed for the people, his people, the Jews. And he prayed that he might know and understand God's will for his people. Folks, we need to do that today for our nation. We need to do that today for our people. We need to do that for our families. We need to take time to pray. If you'll remember, when Daniel was just a young man, probably in his early teens, when he was presented with the food of the king and the wine of the king in Daniel chapter 1, the Bible said that Daniel purposed, he made up his mind, he desired in his heart that he might not defile himself, pollute himself, corrupt himself with a portion of the king's meat. He made up his mind. And you know what? For all those years, for 67, close to 70 years, he had kept the same desire. He was faithful. Boy, how many people do you know today that can be counted as being faithful? I look at you folks in this class, and I look at all of you that are faithful. Some of you for 30, 40 years have been serving God faithfully, 50 years, serving God faithfully. I thank God for that because you set the example for others. Daniel surely had set a good example before the people of Israel while they were in captivity. He had been faithful. And now he prayed unto God, and God said, "Hey, Daniel, I've heard your prayer." Look at verse 4. "And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of that great river," which is Hiddekel, that's the Tigris River. He was there by the river. He was spending time alone with God, 24th day of the first month. You remember what happened on the first day of the first month of every year, do you not? That was the time of Passover. And at the time of Passover, the people were to go and be reminded of how God brought them out of bondage, out of captivity in Egypt. And God brought them out with a mighty hand that he might bring them in to the land of promise. They had promised unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. He was going to bring them out of captivity so that he could bring them in and fulfill his promise. And now as the dawn of their captivity release dawned on the horizon, Daniel is thinking about those things. And for 21 days now, it's the 24th day of the first month now, he has been praying unto God. And he is praying and looking for an answer. Let me ask you something. And I know I'm kind of sidetracking here, but I have this problem. Sometimes I wonder if God hears my prayer because I don't get an immediate answer from God. Is anybody like that today? Do I have a witness? All right. Have you ever prayed and you say, "But I've been praying for days and weeks and even years, and God hasn't answered my prayer yet. Has he heard me? Should I even continue to pray?" You know what? I think Daniel, those thoughts probably went through his mind too, because he was a man like me, like some of you in here today. He was human, and he may have wondered, "God, do you hear me at all? Are you hearing what I'm asking? Lord, please tell me that you're going to take care of your people. Please tell me you're going to keep your promises." For 21 days he had prayed. And now, verses 4 through 6, we see a visitor arrives on the scene. Look at this. He's sitting by the river. He's relaxed. He's talking to God as he always does. And the Bible said, "Then lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." I think what Daniel saw scared him. It filled his mind with wonder and astonishment. I believe when he saw this heavenly visitor that he saw as he prayed, I don't know what may have gone through his mind. But I'll tell you what I thought. I thought of the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. Now I want you to read. When John was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ, for his testimony of the Lord, The Bible said in chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 13 through 17, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about his paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters." Well, that sounds like the same visitor that Daniel saw, does it not? I believe Daniel saw the pre-incarnate Christ right there on that riverside. I believe that Daniel saw that day the same one that John saw while he was on the Isle of Patmos. John saw the resurrected Lord, but Daniel saw the pre-incarnate Christ before he physically came into this world as a babe. Now, I want you to see something here. I want you to see the dread from the vision. And I'm trying to cover these as quick as I can. I'm going to just read verses here and try to explain these so that we can go through it. But Daniel wrote here, beginning in verse number 7, he said, "And I alone saw the vision." He alone saw what God revealed unto him. I think he was the only one that saw it because he was the only one that was praying that way. He was the one that had sought God's face. He is the one that sought an answer from the Lord for 21 days. And God showed Daniel alone the vision. But he said, "For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." These men knew something was going on, but they didn't know what it was. And they did not see the vision. "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." I believe he just about passed out. It scared him so badly. Now think about it. That's exactly what happened to John, was it not? The Isle of Patmos. Look what the Bible said. "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." You know what that tells me? That the devil, who probably slipped up behind Daniel and said, "God's not heard you. You're praying in vain. You might as well stop praying. It's been 21 days. If God really heard you, he'd have already spoken to you. He had already given you an answer to your prayer." What the Lord said to Daniel here just proved that the devil was a liar. He said, "From the very first day, I heard you." You know what that means? That your time that you spend alone with God is important. It's important. Why? Because God hears you. Listen, there were times when our babies would cry in the middle of the night. We'd be laying there in bed, and I'd hear them in the other room, and they'd start whimpering. And I didn't get up immediately. I was tired. It was not my turn. It was Lisa's turn. You know? It was always her turn at night like that. But we'd hear that baby crying. We'd start praying, "Oh, Lord, please let that child go back to sleep." We didn't answer that baby's cry the first time. It'd be quiet for a little bit, and then she'd whimper again, or he'd whimper again. And then it'd go on for a little while until we finally said, "You know what? I'm going in there and take care of this." It wasn't because we didn't hear it. It just wasn't the time. But there was a battle going on. There was a battle going on. And you know what? The devil did not want Daniel to know that God had heard his prayer. And folks, if you look at this, I want you to understand, there was a battle going on. And it was for the people of God. The devil wants to defeat them. He wants to discourage them. He wants to destroy them. And folks, I want you to understand that God still sees those struggles. Struggles in this life are real. They're real. We all face them. But I want you to understand there are allies and there are adversaries in this spiritual warfare among the angels. I want you to look at what it said, the unseen fight between the angels. This heavenly visitor tells Daniel the reason there was a delay in his prayers being answered. And in verse 13 and 14, we hear the words of this visitor, and he says, I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. I want you to turn back with me just a moment to the book of Daniel, chapter number 8. Daniel, chapter number 8. I want you to see something here just a moment. Because there is a question that arises when I read this passage in chapter number 10. I want you to look at Daniel chapter number 8 and beginning in verse number 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ule, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep upon my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. This is Gabriel speaking to Daniel. But there was another one with Gabriel. Who was it? It was the Lord God, the pre-incarnate Christ. And when we read this passage in chapter number 10, Daniel does not go back and specifically say, Gabriel said these words, but I believe it's the same situation. The Lord Jesus made his appearance there before Daniel. And he lets him know that his prayer was heard. But I believe when we read this and we put it in proper perspective in chapter number 10, that Gabriel is speaking these words. Let me tell you why I believe that. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ would not have to worry about fighting the prince of Persia, Satan, or one of his hellish imps, and asking for a help to conquer him. Our Lord Jesus doesn't need the help to do that. But I believe that Gabriel, the messenger from God, you remember Gabriel was the one that always brings good news, of great tidings, of great joy to the people of God. He spoke to Zechariah and told him that he was going to have a son. He spoke to Mary and said, you've been chosen of God to bring forth the Son of God. Gabriel was the messenger for that. And Gabriel here, I believe, was the one that God had sent and said, you go down there and you tell Daniel, I heard his prayer. And I've heard that prayer and continue to hear that prayer. I believe that because Jesus would not have had to have help to fight the devil. Secondly, look at it. I really believe that this angel that was fighting the demonic forces that came against him was the angel Gabriel, just like it was in Daniel chapter 8. And Satan had hindered him. Why? Because there is a warfare going on around us. And you know, the Bible said here that Michael, the archangel, verse 13, he said, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. Michael is the protector of Israel, the mighty protector. And he is the one that watches over Israel. And the Bible said here, he came to help me and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So this passage goes on to show us here that as Gabriel is giving this vision, even as he did in Daniel chapter 8, the Lord said, Gabriel, tell him what the vision means. Again here in chapter 10, this new vision, Gabriel is again explaining to him what's going on. And I want you to understand, it serves to remind us here that there is a battle, spiritual battle going on all around us. Amen. And you know what? That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look what he said. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Why? He tells why. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles. And that word wiles, I looked it up. It means the tricks intended to deceive or to entrap someone. The wiles of the devil. You see, the devil is our enemy today, folks. He is the adversary. It's not the Lord God. It's the devil. He's the great deceiver. He's the great trapper of all men. He's the accuser. And the Bible said why we need to put on this armor. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, there is spiritual wickedness all around us today. And we need God's protection. We need His help. And that's why David wrote there in Psalm chapter 91 that he would give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Listen, thank God that there is help from above. Amen? In times of battle, we are no match for Satan. We must put on the whole armor of God. He tells us how to do that in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Do it every day. And don't just put on one piece that feels good. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. He goes on here in verses 14. And Gabriel now talks to Daniel and he tells him the future of the Jews. Look at this. For years upon years upon years upon years, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, have been fought against. Satan has tried to do away with them. And let me tell you why Satan has tried to do away with the Jews. It was because God made a promise back in Genesis chapter 3 that He would put enmity, adversity between Satan's seed and the seed of the woman, the seed of Israel. And you know what? That seed came through the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It came just as God had promised. And what Satan was trying to do was to do away with God's promise so God could not keep His word to His people. And you know what? One way I know that this Bible is true is through the Jew. It's through the Jew. Listen, God has preserved that nation. He has protected that nation. He has brought them through harm. Why? Because they are His chosen people. Listen to me today, folks. God chose them, and He's promised them, and He's going to fulfill that promise. And He said here, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Yet the vision is for many days. And then he said in verse 15 through 19, when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me like the one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Folks, we find the strength to go on from the touch of God's hand. Let the Lord touch your heart today through his word. The Spirit that dwells within us as believers, he is there to give us comfort and strength and peace. And it is ignited through the word of God. He ignites it through his word. And the Bible said here that there was a struggle that was going to resume. Gabriel said, look, he said, knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? He asked a question. And Daniel's probably saying, yes, I understand why you've come to me. He said, now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. The Bible said also, chapter 11, verse 1. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Folks, Gabriel returned to the fight. But he showed unto Daniel the things that were to come. And we're going to see that in the next lessons. We're going to see what he revealed unto him. But I want you to understand today that you and I don't need to be weary in well-doing. We need to trust God. And we need to understand today that we will reap if we faint not. Don't give up on God. Just because our prayers have not immediately been answered does not mean that God did not hear our prayer. There's a battle going on today. And our strength will be found in the Word of God and in the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. I hope you'll trust Him today. Let's pray just a minute. We'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I have tried so hard to get all this lesson in. And Lord, I still had to skip some things and just didn't have the time. But Lord, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, today that you'll take this lesson and help the words of my mouth be a help to your people today. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them and strengthen them in the times when it seems like they're just discouraged and down and out. Lord, I pray, God, you'll be that strength to them. Help them, Lord, to know that you're there with them. You hear their prayer. And Lord, that the battle that is going on today is real, and we don't need to give up on our trusting you. Lord, I pray that if there be anybody lost today that's listening to the sound of my voice, God, that you'd convict their heart and help them, Lord, to see their need to be saved. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school. Look forward to seeing you in church now.